basketball Jones. I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy. And one.
The game comes down to fundamentals.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode 18, I think, of Storm the Court podcast. Your host, as always, Barstool Reeks here. Special guest with me today, former Kentucky player, John Hood. John, how you doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
Good, good. Thanks again for coming on. You know, for those who maybe don't know you, you were the original recruiting class by Calipari, right?
That is right. Came in with John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Daniel Orton, and Darnell Dodson, and Eric Bledsoe.
So what's that like? Because, I mean, you just named, you know, all-stars, yep. NBA starters, obviously top, you know, McDonald's All-Americans, everything like that. And obviously by no means were you a slouch. You were a top 100 recruit as well, which I think kind of gets overlooked. What's that like when you're part of a recruiting class like that and a team like that?
And you learn a lot, and that's the main thing, is you learn so much about yourself. And then, I mean, off the court and on the court. Off the court, you got these guys coming in from, I mean, Eric Bledsoe was living with his grandmother out of a car for 2 weeks. I mean, that's not how I grew up. That's not how anybody else grew up. So you get the background of these guys like that, so you understand what they're like off the court. And then on the court, every day is a fight. I mean, in UK and everybody has Duke or whoever has these great teams, and all our practices are competitive. No, those practices, there were multiple instances where practices ended in fights and pickup games ended in close fights. And that is competitive. It's competitive when your assistant coach creates an award called the Helmet Award. Mm-hmm. And it goes to the guy who gets dunked on. And basically what it is, it's so you can cover your head when somebody puts their crotch on your head and you get dunked on.
So the fights in practice, who typically got in the most fights?
Well, people think DeMarcus is a head case right now.
Right.
DeMarcus has calmed down tenfold from where he was when he got here. He was grumpy all the time. He missed mama. He missed brother. Didn't know how to live on his own. Yada, yada, yada. The whole thing. But there were only a couple of instances where actual fights happened.
Right.
But
the
it was
typical
like,
hold me back type fights of.
Yeah, that's all. DeMarcus and Daniel got into it a couple times.
That's not shocking.
Dude, that would be a heavyweight matchup that, worthy of pay-per-view, though.
I'd pay to watch that over Mayweather-Pacquiao, number two.
Yeah, there's buddies running away in that fight.
So, you know, you're part of that class now. You were actually at Kentucky for 5 years.
Yep.
So you had the red shirt medical year. Obviously, that's not the norm at Kentucky.
Exactly.
The narrative of the norm, I should say.
Yep.
But so you saw, obviously, five completely different teams, five different years. As a teammate and someone, you know, kind of in the rotation and working to get into the rotation, what's it like and the process of adapting to a whole new set of guys around you year after year?
It's people make a big deal about that. We're together in the summer so much.
Okay.
And even any good team,
right,
they're together all summer. They're playing pickup one, two times a day. I mean, at least five times, at least four times a week.
Right.
The great teams always play five times a week, and it's always a set time. And if you don't show up, it's kind of that kangaroo court. Okay, you got to run. And
okay,
you don't get to play the first game the next, or first two or three games the next time. Like my first year, we played a pickup game at 3:30 in the summer every single day.
So Saturdays, you know where to be, where
Sundays. Yep. Saturdays, Sundays didn't matter. And then if guys still had stuff left in the tank, social life comes second to basketball.
Right.
And if you're having Patrick Patterson yell at you and say, "Okay, Jim, 9:30 tonight." If you had a date, you canceled it.
Yep.
Because regardless of everything, that was going to be fun. That was going to be more fun than anything you were about to do.
Now, you mentioned Patterson. Was Patterson kind of the leader of that first team? Because, you know, he was a junior. It was because you always hear, at least, you know, now and in the last couple of years of, well, who's the leader? You know, this year, everyone, yeah, obviously, it's pretty obvious in Euless. But it seems like every year there's a little bit of figuring out period of, because everyone's, you know, kind of an alpha dog coming in from high school.
Yep.
So what's it, you know, who was the first year? Was it Patterson?
That,
or?
That year was Pat. It was Pat for a little bit. And then just as John started to come into his own, he took over.
Okay.
And it, once he took over, that's when the team really took off, when we started thumping teams.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you, DeMarcus, we were at Auburn, and this is after John kind of took the reins of the team. And we were at Auburn. Eric's mom was at the game, so everybody knew Eric was going to play well. So we're in layup lines, and DeMarcus looks at this kid from the other team and says, "We're up 15. And I was sitting right behind him, and I went, "What?" Like, the tip hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So we're up 15. And it was like 15-2 to start the game. It was nuts. I mean, when they wanted to play, nobody could beat them.
Right.
And if we hit shots, we were going to beat you by 100.
Now, with that sort of talent, did you ever see, or not even just that year, but your time at Kentucky, obviously you played on incredible teams. Was there ever a team, you know, outside of maybe like the season opener against, you know, you're looking at, you know, Mount St. Mary's or something like that, where you could just tell there was intimidation in the layup line or getting ready to head out, you know, for the tip?
Anytime you play in Rupp Arena, it's crazy. I mean, as far as intimidation goes, I think that 2012 team had the intimidation.
Okay.
Based on what we did on the court. I mean, especially early part of that year, we beat Morehouse. Morehouse, we paid Morehouse. I don't get this at all. We paid Morehouse to come in for a scrimmage, and we beat them by 80 points, legitimately 80 points. I mean, DeMarcus's team had the – you get off the airplane, and your shortest player is 6'1".
Right.
And in pregame layup lines, he's going to put the ball between his legs and dunk it. I mean, every kid on the team could dunk. Every kid on the team was big. I mean, you go across the line, Josh Harrelson, 6'10", DeMarcus, 6'10", Daniel Orton, 6'10", Perry Stevenson, 6'9".
Patterson,
6'9". Ramon Harris, 6'7", 6'8". Darius Miller, 6'8". Me, 6'7". Darnell Dodson, 6'7". And then your point guard, Eric Bledsoe, 6'1". who could be playing defensive back.
Or probably the most athletic out of the entire group.
Yep.
So, your recruiting process, you're a Kentucky kid from, mm-hmm. what, Western Kentucky, correct?
Western Kentucky.
So, it was between Kentucky, Alabama, or Kentucky, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, right, was your final four.
Yep. That's right.
Now, you committed to Gillespie, signed and everything. Can you talk a little bit about what, you know, your recruiting process in general, and then getting the news of the head coach you commit to is fired, and here comes Calipari coming in?
Well, I had been recruited a little bit. I mean, being the Western Kentucky kid, Murray State was the first team to offer a scholarship, okay. And that was back when they still had Kennedy and Coach Prom, who's okay. at Iowa State now. Yep. Kennedy's at A&M, both really good coaches, really good teams.
Murray State always has it. Like, if you look at their coaching tree, it's incredible.
Yeah,
like, Cronin was there. Crazy. And then they did, who the hell else was there? There's someone else. There's four of them that you're like, really, in Murray? And then you realize that Murray's typically pretty good.
Yeah, they had the year with Prom with
Isaiah Cannon.
Yep.
Yep.
Isaiah Cannon and Big Ed and those guys were – Ed Daniels were down there, and they were killing teams. That's just because Kennedy is from Louisiana. He knows how to recruit Louisiana, and he recruited as bad as it sounds. He recruited Katrina very well.
Yeah, you had to. I mean,
that's what it was.
I mean, it's a natural disaster, but you kind of have to. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to think about it a little bit when it comes to recruiting and kids in that area. You hear about it with football a lot, you know, especially kids going to LSU or going to Alabama. But that makes total sense.
I wasn't recruited by UK until they did an elite camp.
Okay.
And they invited a 450 person elite camp.
Now, how old were you? Were you going in junior year, going in senior year?
Sophomore summer.
Sophomore summer.
Going into junior year. And we went. I came up with Dad, and I'd played on the circuit, AAU circuit that everybody talks about, and had played well and gotten the stars and everything, and was up to two or three, and then I get invited to the camp, and I get put on the eighth best team or whatever. Huh. And I didn't like it. I went for about 40 the first game and got bumped up to the third team just in two games. And opening tip, I went in and tried to dunk all over DeMarcus. Just why not? Let's make a statement.
Right.
Tried to dunk on him and got in a little pushing match with Gillespie with Gillespie right underneath the basket. I got offered a scholarship 3 days later.
Okay.
And I mean, Coach Kennedy, Andy Kennedy, AK, recruited me to Ole Miss.
Okay.
That was back when Michael White was still an assistant there.
Okay.
Torrey Ward, who recently passed away in the airplane crash, was there.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee had Coach Pearl. Coach Forbes, who's at East Tennessee State now, and a couple other guys. And then Georgia went off the rails.
They went a little off the rails. Now, I got to ask, is Pearl as nuts in person as, his character is – you know, after Auburn beat Kentucky this year, and you got him going nuts on the sideline and encouraging all the storming of the court. And
dude, is he
a lunatic in real life? It's not a character, right?
He is a lunatic. He knows how to bring out the best in his players.
Oh yeah.
He and I had probably the second best relationship from a head coaching standpoint.
Okay.
I mean, obviously Coach G was first, but
right.
Coach Pearl would call me after every single game that I played. How many did you have tonight? Okay. How efficient were you? Okay. What could you do better? Okay. That was it. That was the whole talk. And then we went down there, and I loved Tennessee. I loved Knoxville. I loved that gaudy orange that I hate now.
Yep.
That was when Duke
that song Cruz, Rocky Top in your head.
Oh, God, I hate that song. Mm-hmm. That was when Duke Cruz, Wayne Chisholm, Lofton was a senior when I went. Tyler Smith had just gotten there from Iowa.
Everybody wore a headband.
Everybody. Juwan Smith, all those guys. You had what was the kid's name? He called himself the Solution. He tried to dress like Iverson. You know what I'm talking about?
He
was there.
It was
wild.
I know exactly. I can picture him, but I can't.
He thought he was Iverson, then he called himself the Solution instead of the Answer.
If you give yourself a nickname, especially something as asinine as that, you can't. It's just a rule. You can't.
It's bad.
It has to be given to you. So I actually saw Wayne Chisholm play about 4 years, 5 years ago. Or was it Chisholm? Yeah, it was Chisholm when he got kicked off Tennessee and ended up at Bowie State in Maryland.
Chisholm got kicked out?
Or was it Chisholm? It was someone from that
Cruz.
Team. It was Cruz. That's what it was. It was Cruz. You want to talk about a man playing against boys at the D2 level.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he went for 38 and 13. I mean, just like that. He rolled out of bed and did it.
I mean, Here's something for your Storm the Court podcast. We went to I took an unofficial visit to Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. Mm-hmm. We went to a football game. Before we went to the football game, we played against their guys, and I had just no respect.
Right.
There was, as it always is, no respect. And you come out on the court, and I hit a couple threes, and one of them in Lofton, like Lofton draped all over me, hit it. Pearl comes out from behind a curtain and just starts screaming, "Oh, there's another Kentucky shooter, another Kentucky shooter. What are you going to do, Chris?" And Chris came down and broke me off one of the worst crossovers ever and pulled up and told Pearl to shut up. I went in and jumped straight at Wayne Chisholm. I tried to dunk on him, and he got out of the way. I got the dunk down. I don't know why he moved. He could have hit me, and I would have probably broken in half. I was 170 pounds, but we go to the football game, and my cousin went there. And my cousin went to UT, and she was at the football game. She knew I was there, so she came over to where everything was. She yells at me from the end of the aisle. I walk down there, give her a big old hug, talk to her for a second. My dad's there. And he's the one that took me. And we're sitting next to Coach Pearl. Well, he's sitting next to Coach Pearl. I'm sitting next to Wayne. I come back and sit down, and Chisholm starts yelling at Coach Pearl. He says, "Oh, we got him, Coach. We got him, Coach. He's already got a girl. Yada, yada, yada." I said, "Wayne, that's my cousin." And he kind of hesitated for a second. Coach Pearl said, "What are you talking about? It's his cousin." And Wayne looked back and said, "Come on, we're in Tennessee, Coach. That's all legal here."
Where's Chisholm from? Oh,
I think Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay, so he's from Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah. Down next to Memphis, though, so.
That's right. That's right. So now you commit to Kentucky, and you, I guess, two-part question before. How did you find out about Gillespie's firing / Calipari's hiring? And then what's the, you know, your thought process during that, and obviously you end up at Kentucky, but what happened kind of during that time frame?
G called me, and like I said, we had the best relationship that I had with a coach, and he called me and said, "Look, I'm getting fired. They're going to fire me. We're about to have this meeting, and they're going to fire me. I'm just letting you know first.
Right.
I'm calling you, and then I'm calling Daniel." So, and Daniel and I were close.
Okay.
And so as soon as I got off the phone with Daniel, or as soon as I got off the phone with G, 5 minutes later, Daniel calls me. Said, "What are you going to do?" Because we were best friends.
You grew up not too far from him, right? Being in Western Kentucky, now, Daniel, in a couple hours?
Daniel's from Oklahoma City.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking he was from St. Louis for some reason.
Yeah, he's right. Oklahoma City boy. So we sit there and talk for like an hour. "Okay, what are you going to do?" "I think I'm going to go to Kansas," he said. I'm like, "Man, come on. Don't leave me. you can't do this." So he doesn't know what he's going to do. We go to we'd already had NBA camp.
Okay.
In the top 100 camp.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Virginia, and we had been trying to recruit Bledsoe to come to Kentucky. And we thought we had him. And then that happens. It's like, this is bad.
Right.
When Eric's not coming. There's no way he's coming. So Daniel decides at the Derby Classic, that All-Star game,
mm-hmm.
that he's coming to Kentucky. That's when he decided. Like okay. The night before in the hotel room. So he decides that. The rest of the guys get axed. I mean, everybody, top to bottom, everybody yep. else in the lineup. Connor Tucker was there. I don't know where he wound up. G.J. Villarino went to Zaga for a little bit mm-hmm. and transferred somewhere else. Dominique Ferguson was a year behind us. Ferg went – played for Isaiah, so Florida Atlantic or Florida International, one of those two.
International, yeah.
And, I mean, we stayed on. And for a two-week period, we thought Donovan was coming. We thought Billy D was coming.
Just from rumors and everything? Okay.
And we were both good. We were both good with that. Like, that's fine. He recruited us, too.
He's a hell of a coach, yeah.
Yeah. He recruited us, too. It's going to be a great fit. He's already been at Kentucky once. He understands right. what this is. And then April Fool's Day comes around, and Cal gets hired. And I'm thinking, this isn't good, because this dude's never talked to me. This dude's never seen me. Well, he saw me play one time. I hit a game winner at the whatever the AAU tournament they have in Memphis is.
Okay.
I hit a game winner there and then got, like, stomped by the next team we played, just right in front of all these coaches. But so I didn't think it was good. He kept me around, and he called Daniel first because Daniel called me. He kept me around based on what I did in the Derby Classic.
So he paid attention to the Derby Classic.
He had an assistant there.
Scouting.
Graduate assistant there. Scouting
for Memphis.
What I did and how I took it. Scouting for because he knew he was going to get the UK job.
Okay, so he, what day was the Derby Classic?
So
just obviously within a week of him taking the job officially. Okay.
So we went there and we did that, and then I get a call that night and says, We want you to stay on. We want you here. And it didn't hit me until after I was already there for 3 years that they kept me on to keep everybody happy. You let Kentucky boy walk out.
Yep.
And I found that out, and it got reiterated a couple weeks ago. They're doing a – Bleacher Report is actually doing a the recruiting class that changed college basketball, and it's my year.
Right.
And it comes out in that, which is why I stayed on. They kept – I mean, to keep the fans happy. They kept me, Darius, and Pat. Well, it's a no-brainer to keep Darius Miller and Patrick Patterson. But me, that's a whole different story.
So, good, go ahead. So, that comes out – you didn't know that while you're playing, right? This comes out after the fact.
After the fact. So, the whole time I was playing, I was doing like everybody else was, fighting, scrapping for minutes, and got mine here and there, made the most of them, understood the game, just – junkie as far as film goes.
Yeah. So what's it like when you're hearing, okay, Calipari comes, you and Daniel both decide to stay on. What's it like now when you start hearing the other recruits that are now flipping? Because what, DeMarcus flipped from Memphis to Kentucky. Uh-huh. Did Bledsoe flip, or was he uncommitted?
Bledsoe just committed. He didn't have to flip.
Just committed, okay. So what's it like when you start hearing, you know, player 1, 2, 3 are all now coming?
Well, DeMarcus did it first. Actually, I think John did it first. I think Wall did it first.
Yeah.
He flipped, and I went, oh, that's fine. Me and John are boys. We talk every now and then. We had battles in the summer.
Right.
Of me trying to run away from him off 17 screens in one possession, and then him flying by me in transition changing directions without changing speeds. It's just the way he was. DeMarcus and I knew each other from the little tussle that we got into at elite camp. And then I knew Eric. I didn't know Darnell Dodson.
Yep.
But the rumor was for the longest time that Henry was coming, that Xavier was coming.
Yep.
I just didn't like Xavier at all.
That seems to be a common thing said.
Just because of everything. I mean, elite camp and everything else and all this and all that. The circuit. Xavier ran his mouth a lot. So
Nobody really liked Xavier. I've heard more than one person say exactly what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened, and I was worried that Xavier was coming because he wanted to go to Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And then he winds up committing to Kansas. So it was I don't even know if he's still in the league.
I don't think so. I'm sure he's playing overseas somewhere.
If he's playing overseas, he's a $200,000 a year player overseas.
Yeah. I mean,
dude's got talent, but he doesn't have the head.
No, he had I remember everyone thinking he was going to be the best player out of that class. Mm-mm. Just because, like you said, he was from body type wise to pure talent wise.
Yep.
He should have been. But he's.
I think I got the first real look at Xavier. He and Harrison Barnes were on the same NBA camp team.
Okay.
And they went at each other and were on the same team. It was like, okay, what can you do? I can do this. What can you do? I can do this. So,
trying to one up each other the entire time.
The entire camp.
So now, Was there any time during when you committed, or I guess after your first year, was there any time where you thought about transferring, or were yours always, I'm here at Kentucky, I'm here for my time?
Everybody thinks that I wanted to transfer, maybe for a couple days. I did a really good job of trying to see the big picture and everything.
Okay.
And trying to see, okay, I'm going to be able to play overseas ball. These guys are getting me better.
Right.
I'm having to fight against these monsters every single day in practice. And then in workouts, I'm going to have to get better. So that was the big thing for me is looking at the end. And someone said it the other day. It's people say it about Notre Dame too. It's not a 4-year commitment. It's a 40-year commitment.
Because
you're set.
Yeah. Especially in and around.
Yep. Around Lexington.
Not even Lexington. Just the entire state of Kentucky. Even except for maybe 4th Street to 2nd Street in Louisville. It's the only place where I think you might not get something.
That's all.
So, what's life like as a Kentucky player? You know, when you're on campus and everything like that.
Oh, you're rock stars.
Exactly.
That's. I mean, everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows your backstory. Everybody knows everything about you.
Is it weird at all? Because I mean, you're walking around and you're the same age as these. You know, on campus, you're a college kid.
Yeah.
Is it weird at all? Obviously, you kind of know it coming with the territory.
Get used to it, okay. Get over it pretty quickly, but it's every now and then kind of weird.
Yeah.
When someone, I mean, when you're out at, I mean, when when you're out at a restaurant and your server walks up and says, "Go Cats," and hands you the bill. That's weird. Like, nobody wants to be bothered while we're eating.
Right.
Let us finish eating, and then we'll sign whatever you want us to.
I always thought it was weird watching out. You know, you go out to the bars. You know, you're out at Two Keys or whatever in the off season.
Yeah.
And so when I was there, I got to know some of the guys. Like I was friendly with Derek Jasper and Perry not Bobby Perry, but his brother or Dwight. His cousin Dwight. Yes, and. So, you know, I'd see him out or whatever and talk to him, but it was always weird because you'd see people kind of like staring at him like, should I go talk to him? Should I buy him a drink? And it's like, dude, they're just 21-year-old kids like me and you.
That's it. You're just 4 inches, 5 inches taller and have 60 pounds more muscle.
Right. So now the one thing I've talked about it with some other guys I've talked about here from other schools is – living arrangements. And Kentucky has, what's it now, the Cole Lounge? It's the Wildcat Lounge.
Yeah. Still. I've been in both.
What's that like? Because it's not obviously a typical dorm. You're not in your standard little.
Yeah. You're living with your teammates. But according to NCAA, which is stupid, 51% have to be ordinary students.
Right.
So of the 51%, they're men's managers, women's managers, and then like 3 regular students. So that's how you get around it. But, I mean, you in the new lodge, you have your own room, but you share your own room, your own sink, but you share a bathroom and a shower with like your suite mate.
Okay.
In the old lodge, I say the old lodge, the one that's national championship year was the last year. It was Anthony Davis. That one, it was you share a room with another guy and you share the shower just with that person.
Just
so
with
like
one.
I,
okay.
My first year I roomed with Daniel. My first year.
Did you get to pick your roommate? Your first
that
year,
was
or was it?
That was one of the things with us was I want a room with Daniel.
Okay.
I made that very clear. And he said the same thing about me. So fortunately, we were able to share a room. And then third and fourth year, I shared a room with Jared Paulson.
Okay. I'm assuming you guys know each other. from high school and that whole life. Because when he now did you guys? I'm assuming you guys played against each other quite a bit in high school.
No, we back never. Then Western Kentucky stayed at Western, stayed in Western Kentucky.
Okay.
And up here, stayed up here. So, I mean, we knew of each other,
right.
But we didn't really play against each other, per se.
So now, one thing that's obviously coming up, we're a couple weeks away, NCAA tournament. You got to experience life in the NCAA tournament. What's that like when, come Selection Sunday, you're watching it, what's life like that next week, getting through the first weekend?
Well, I mean, you have all these guys that are on staff, the video guys that are looking at Lenardi's, where are you going to be, where, whatever. So we kind of know who we're going to be matched up against. I mean, we know what kind of team most of the time.
You can probably guess between the three or four.
Yeah. As soon as it comes to that, they'll recruit – or not recruit. They'll scout those couple teams. But they'll also scout like three or four rounds ahead.
Okay.
So being a film junkie, I watched every game that I could. I didn't watch CNN or ESPN. Yeah. I'd rather watch film. I'd rather watch what Xavier Henry did against East Tennessee State and how he was effective and stuff like that, or what North Carolina did playing someone else. And doing that, from the AAU circuit, you're friendly with a lot of guys that go to other teams, so that's a way to keep track of everything. Those guys are scouting. You on the team, as far as, let's say you play a Friday-Sunday series, because it's Thursday, Saturday, Friday, mm-hmm. Sunday. We would leave on Tuesday. Wednesday would be a practice and then a media session opportunity. And then Thursday would be a practice and just a small media thing. And then you play the game Friday. You have media after the game. You can't leave the locker room until everybody
mm-hmm.
is done with media. And everybody that sets foot on that court and everybody in general is up for the media.
Yeah, it's not...
It's not just, okay,
just, hey, we're setting these up. Three, yeah.
So after the game, you do that, and then you go immediately from there into you go eat back at the hotel, the catered whatever. Then you immediately go through a ballroom, like 4 hours later, whether that be midnight or wherever, and you walk through plays. Just certain little, not so much plays, just actions
on right.
what this next team's going to do, because they already know. Like when we beat Kansas State my final year, we immediately knew exactly what Wichita State was going to do. And they were going to do pick and roll, handoff, pick and roll with Baker coming back to the middle. That's all they did. And then when he didn't do it, they rolled Clay Anthony Early back to the top. It's just who they were. But we started doing that Friday night at 11:30.
So this was Saturday.
Yep. So you wake up Saturday, you get your meal, you walk through plays, you go to practice, you do a light, no contact practice, more cerebral than anything. You come back, you walk through plays again, you eat, lounge around, take a nap, come back that night, have a meeting with coach, walk through plays one last time, get your snack, wake up. Next morning, 4 hours before the game, you have not even an hour, it's a 59-minute, so basically, 59-minute shoot-around. And then you go play the game. And then you come right back home, right on that Sunday. We fly home Sunday night, who we playing? Usually have that Monday off, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, same way.
So now when you guys are tournament time, you guys are obviously out of the hotels. Do a lot of the teams stay in the same hotel? Because, so they try to separate it so you're not.
You'll have a couple of other teams, but it'll be like teams that are – there'll be one Midwest bracket team there
mm-hmm.
and then one South bracket team there.
Okay.
That so you're sense. Not playing against each other.
Now, when you is there obviously just a different feeling come tournament times for players and game atmosphere when you're on there as opposed to, you know, a big regular season game in January?
Yeah. Because nobody wants to go home.
Right.
Nobody wants to stop playing. And if you want to stop playing, you don't deserve to be on the court. You don't deserve to be in the tournament if you want to go home and you want to lose, or you don't care if you win or lose.
Right. Now, I always thought it was with this Oklahoma-Kansas game earlier in the year, the triple overtime, how everyone said that's been the best regular season game in a long time, which I agree with. And I've said it. I thought it was the best game since the Wichita State-Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. Was that in person and playing in it as good as advertised? Because it was one of those games where neither team, you know, you always hear the team lost the game. It was more Kentucky just won. As opposed to Wichita State didn't give it away.
The whole game was like blow for blow, heavyweight fight. Just, I hit you, now I'm going to stand here and let you hit me. I'm going to hit you, and then you can hit me again. That game was like that. And also the my second year with Brandon Knight, the Ohio State game was a lot like that. Brandon didn't play well, and then he buries it jumper to win it. But that's another one, that game. And then the North Carolina game, we're just back and forth the whole game. We'd get a 10-point lead, and Harrison Barnes would come down and just finally decide to wake up and play. So,
he's obviously really good, but in college it was just so weird with him.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at it, and it just was so inconsistent. Like you said, he had to wake up in order to be effective.
It was weird. To say the least, it was weird on how he could not dominate every single game he played in.
Now, your redshirt year is the title year, right?
Yep.
Now, were you still able to travel at all during that, when you were redshirted?
I traveled to SEC tournament
and
NCAA tournament. I went down to Florida. I went to Vandy.
Okay, so you are allowed to travel while redshirt. What's it like? Obviously, you're still part of the team. Mm-hmm. You can't help an injury. But what's it like when you watch one shining moment and it's for you guys?
As being with the injury, it's tough.
Yeah.
But I was okay with it because of everything that I did throughout that year. I mean.
This was before the season, right?
Yeah. It was. I tore it as like June 10th or something in a pickup game with those guys, and I for some reason decided after shooting threes for the first four games that for whatever reason, no clue, that I was going to drive in there and attack the trees and try to make a statement. So I drove in, pro hopped, picked the ball up over the top of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, came down, and if you've seen the picture of Nerlens when he tore his at Florida, it's exactly the same.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I was able to be on the court as a quote-unquote coach.
Right.
So, I mean, if you listen to some of the stuff that Cal says about – or that Cal said about me, it was Coach Hood, Coach Hood, Coach Hood. Tearing it allows you to view the game a different way, both, like, you're more grateful from what you did.
Right.
And you're you understand the X's and O's part of it better. You understand the concepts.
You have to be smarter with the lack of explosion now that you probably, you lose a little bit, obviously, with a torn ACL.
But being out, I mean, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist doesn't have the best basketball IQ. It's not a secret. Everybody knows. Yep. So I was able to come to him during timeouts or like stoppages in practice and grab him and pull him to me and say, look, do this, plant left, go here, whatever. That's who I am. That's the kind of basketball mind I have, is I understand what you're supposed to do and where people are going to be open. So that was the majority of it. So I was okay with one shining moment because I watched so much damn film.
How hard was it, though, the year after when you come back and it's NIT, the ACL injury to Nerlens? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the toughest year that Kentucky has had. Yeah, under Calipari. What's that transition like going from, now granted, again, you were out for the championship year, but being part of a championship team, you know, the year before, a Final Four team, now into a, you know, obviously a struggle year in an NIT team?
It was hard.
Yeah.
Just because we had guys that came in and thought it was going to be easy and thought teams were just going to lay down, and had guys that were not matured yet and were a little, as bad as it sounds, a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing you can't have at Kentucky. You can't be soft. If you're soft, don't come here.
Right.
Don't show up. Don't show your face. Tell coach don't ever call you. Block his number. If you can't take it, it's going to be ugly.
What did you – now, was there talk on all – you know, did you hear anything on campus during that year that was just – weird? Was it did the students and the, like you said, you know, the waiter comes over and go Cats and puts it down? Was it different that year with it being a down year, or is it still just because it's Kentucky?
I mean, it was Kentucky. It was, oh, come on, you got this. Y'all got this. Okay. Y'all got this. And it's like, no, we don't. It's, I'm seeing behind the scenes. We ain't got this. And we got guys that are still trying to fight coach. There was no clear leader on the team. I tried to be. Julius Mays tried to be, but Julius played at Wright State, mm-hmm. and we had hard-headed guys, and I hadn't played the year before, so nobody thought I knew exactly what I was talking about. So, I mean, whatever. It happened. We run up to Robert Morris, and I'm looking at guys, and Jared and I are looking at guys in the pregame layup lines and looking at facial expressions like, yeah, we're not winning this game. We're going to lose this game, and it's going to be embarrassing.
Yep.
So we lose, and 2 days later, we have 5 a.m. running.
Oh, really? Right away?
Oh, yeah. That was bad.
Now, what's it like hearing – because you hear it, obviously, ever with Calipari, you hear two things. A, that the title is always going to be removed at some point because of some allegations that's going to come down the road by Calipari, and B, that he can't coach. What's it – you know – well, as a player and someone in that system, does it just get frustrating? You know, obviously, I'm sure you hear it a ton. Yeah.
It's frustrating hearing that. It's frustrating hearing, like, because that's my coach. Regardless of if I have a ill will or whatever, if I don't believe he's a good coach or whatever, whoever, whatever, I'm going to defend him till the day I die, because that was my coach. So, I mean, the guy recruits like crazy, and it's real recruiting. It's okay. His resume speaks for itself. It's, you want to go to the NBA? Here you go. Come on. And he gets the best guys that he can, and then he makes them. Or he doesn't really do it. He just let, I mean, as far as the letting them gel, he doesn't let them gel. He doesn't make them gel. He says, okay, it's on you guys. Learn about each other. That's what the summer's for. We don't see coach in the summer. We see assistants, but not Coach Cal. And as far as the title being taken away, no, that ain't
right.
Happening. It's not going to happen. I mean, and it's not like we have – it's not like we have hookers in the dorm room either.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
or, you know, and you are taking a real class.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're actually going to class. We're actually doing our work. Now, it may not be good, although that 38-1 team had like almost every single guy was academic all SEC.
Oh yeah.
But
that's right.
I mean, you know, we don't do our homework.
Never right. Forget. All right, so we're going to go a little rapid-fire questions about your time at Kentucky and your life as a basketball player in general. Most talented teammate you had at Kentucky was?
Talented teammate. By the time they left, probably probably Brandon Knight. Just pure talent.
Huh. Okay. Favorite arena not named Rupp Arena?
Vanderbilt.
Why?
Memorial.
Just because of the how it's
the gym,
the raised floor, and
I love the coaching
on the baseline.
Yeah. I love that, and I love the goals.
Okay, yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you look, which gyms have shooters rims,
right.
shooters goals? Duke. Oh, Duke has the standard that comes down, and it hangs. Duke has the hanging backboard because it's a smaller place. Well, Vanderbilt, there's nothing back there. Well, if you're shooting a free throw, you're looking into a crowd, which is fine. That's the way. That's the way every kid shot in high school.
Right, right.
You look at Rupp Arena, and depending on which way you're looking, it can be you're shooting into darkness, basically. So, I mean, it's you figure out as a shooter, you figure out sight lines pretty quick.
Least favorite arena is.
Georgia or Florida?
I could see that. I've been to Georgia's.
They just rag you from start to finish. And they don't care who you are.
Oh, yeah.
If you look stupid, they're going to get you. And Florida, I mean, the fans, it's not even students. It's real fans that are right behind you. Students are across the way, but, I mean, I like and dislike the O'Connell Center. Another one I hated was the Tad Pad.
Okay.
Ole Miss was terrible just because it was a dump.
Yeah. What fan base gave it to you personally the most, and what was the funniest/meanest thing that you did you hear anything like that while on the road? Just one where you...
Tennessee was bad.
Tennessee.
Just because they knew who I was.
Yeah.
I went there 5 times on 5 unofficials. They knew exactly who I was, so they were probably the worst as far as straight-up name-calling. Arkansas was terrible. Arkansas, those kids do their research. They'll follow you and, like, print out tweets that you tweeted, like, at someone, and then have that person... Like, if it's your girlfriend, they'll... Like, they got... I think they got somebody... They got... Jared, I think, bad. They had like a picture of his girlfriend sitting like just and held it up while we were in warm-ups.
One where you just kind of have to laugh a little bit at it.
Yeah.
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 That's funny. You hear Arkansas is a good crowd, and obviously it's always it's a tough place to play.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You never hear really that the fan base is like that.
Brutal.
What was the toughest loss? Game wise for you,
outside of Robert Morris.
Outside of Robert Morris,
probably the worst loss that we had was at South Carolina my last year with Julius Randle. The one that will hit me the hardest forever is at we were playing in Syracuse playing. West Virginia, when Joe Mazzulla decided that he was going to put on Michael Jordan's shoes and play the game of his career.
Yep. I remember that, and I had a bunch of friends that went to West Virginia that still remind me of that game quite a bit.
He is a, like, player personnel guy and, like, a scout or something for in, like, the NBA.
For the NBA.
Yeah. So he... Of course, at UK, you have scouts at every practice.
Right.
He shows up, and Coach, I'm the only one on the team that knows who this guy is. And Coach says, hey, guys, this is scout, and you go over and shake their hand. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't shake his hand.
Right. Well, yeah.
And Coach, like, got mad. And so he asked me, he's like, hell no. I ain't shaking that dude's hand. I don't have ill will against anybody but him, because he single-handedly beat us. So... Coach had no idea why I wouldn't do it. Like, no, I'm holding that grudge till the day I die. I should have another ring.
Yeah, that was...
Because we would have steamrolled Duke.
Yeah, exactly.
That's off that year.
That... Someone asked me... I want to say maybe about a month ago, somebody asked me, just in a casual conversation, you know, as a Kentucky fan, what loss would you... felt like it slipped the most? And while a lot of people will want to say that, yeah, the championship game against UConn, but that was, like you said, that the matchup after West Virginia was going to be a steam. That was the title that I felt like as a fan truly got away. Which leads me to the next question: what team was the best? Because you had it asked.
That's hard. You can throw out the NIT year for sure.
I thought that was the favorite to win.
You can throw out my last year for sure. So as far as – I mean, and really it comes down to the national championship year and then DeMarcus's year.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that was my class. Those were my guys.
Right.
I think that first year.
Yeah. I can totally buy into that.
Just because there were – I mean, you hear it all the time in sports. This guy's a dog. Yeah, they were just pit bulls. It was crazy.
Who was the best opponent or most talented single opponent that you faced?
Barnes was good. Royce White.
Yeah.
From Iowa State.
Yeah.
Before he had his loony bin thing.
Talk about a guy that went
he was the best player on the court that game.
You're talking round of 32 game?
Yep. He was telling every single person about it.
Dude's
hands could cover my computer screen. They were so big. Other than those two guys, those are the only two that really jump out. Seth Curry was pretty good.
Yeah.
At Duke, but and no better than Barnes and
Right. What was the most satisfying win?
No, I'll take that back. Kemba.
Kemba.
Yeah.
Kemba.
Kemba,
Kemba put, was Kemba, Kemba better than Shabazz.
It was crazy. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kemba would give Shabazz 50.
With ease.
We went to Maui and we played them in the national or the title game.
Yeah.
And there's an 8-hour flight back from Maui to Lexington or to Cincinnati. And in that game, before we went 2-3 zone, actually we went 2-3 zone and I was the only one back. First one back, everybody else got back and they kicked it up to Kemba. And I went out to guard him and he went jab and I went and didn't go anywhere. He jabbed, crossed, and then crossed it back. And I, flew out of the picture, out of the tape. So we watched 8 hours back. Everybody had a meeting with coach on the plane and said, okay, what do you bring to this team? What do you do? What yada, yada, yada. So I said my piece, and then you had to watch a little bit of film on yourself if you played. So for 30 minutes, legitimately 30 minutes, Cal is playing this 1 5-second clip and just keeps rewinding it. And he's like, I'm shocked. And he's like, here you are, good defense. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? You're back. Where'd you go? You're back. Where'd you go? And it 30 minutes. It was the most embarrassing thing ever.
He had to be just unbearably quick. Just unbearably quick.
Like when he crossed over the dude from Pitt and the guy from Pitt fell.
Big East.
I was like, dude, yeah. I feel your pain. I know exactly where you're doing. Where you're at right now.
The worst is was that the last year of the Big East tournament?
Yep.
So that's like the play that they just show nonstop. Now, what was, so let's head into this year. Obviously, you're still a college basketball fan. What's your take on the season this year with it being, up and down from not just Kentucky but college basketball in general, where there are just no great teams this year?
I mean, that's what's bothersome. There's no good teams. I mean,
my headline last week for Bracketology that I do on Fridays was just everyone kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, you look, and I've Sam Malone introduced me to Barstool. I read every now and then. I don't know the 100% storylines behind it. And from what I can gather, Bosco hates Clay Travis. I still have no clue what the dude looks like.
Oh, Rico.
No clue what he looks like. But, I mean, you go through and I follow him because it's hysterical. He'll bet on this team, this team, this team. But there's never any, like, top 25 teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking the other day, last night, Maryland played Michigan.
Yep.
And I sat there and watched the game. I was like, how are these guys number six?
Yeah. They can't rebound worth a damn. How
is Trimble a, like, wooden award winner? Like, late season watch. Like, this kid's terrible. He was awful last night. I know he's good, but good.
Right. He struggled this year. I mean,
but you have teams like that. Oklahoma looks good. They look great. Buddy Hield's going to ring you up for 46, and then the next night, they're going to get exposed down low.
Right. Right.
Because Latin's a liability.
Yep.
For fouls. Spangler's not quick at all.
No.
I
love watching him play. He's made the play, like, on my Wednesday night men's league. Just because it's threes, it's slow.
Yep.
And he's going to piss a lot of people off.
And then, speaking of Wednesday night men's league, here you go. Gonzaga, the world beaters, supposedly, before the year. They get beat on senior night when I watched, because that's my boy, Kyle Wilcher.
Yep.
That is a men's league Hall of Famer.
Wilcher?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
He and Luke Kornet from Vandy are the exact same player, except Kornet's 3 inches taller.
Yes.
But yeah. Gonzaga just no-shows games.
Yeah, where are they when you have Wilcher and Sabonis, and obviously Karnowski's out, play. But...
You look at what Pangos brought to that team last year.
Yeah.
Well,
in fairness, too, I guess, you know, Pangos was in college for like 12 years. It helps having that leadership.
Still, though. I mean, how long has Kyle been in? He's got a ring.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
I mean, LSU's a disappointment. I don't think Johnny Jones can coach at all.
He is.
You have a absolute...
He has to get fired after this year.
$700 million player. You have the next. If he'll learn to shoot, you have the next LeBron
with a nice supporting cast.
Yeah,
I think I like LSU's support. I was really high on Blakeney coming in. I thought he'd be a great, you know, kind of piece to play alongside with Simmons, and then, you know, Hornsby's.
Quarterman, I mean, he always plays well against us, but he doesn't play well against anybody else.
No, he's frustrating. If you're an LSU fan, he's got to be frustrating.
Hornsby has a worse-looking jump shot. His looks worse than Joakim Noah's.
He does like that weird hitch, and it's outside.
It's weird. It's the worst-looking jump shot since Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I mean, Vanderbilt's a disappointment.
Yeah, they might be the most disappointing team in the country this year.
But if they beat Kentucky and if they win out, they're in.
Now they're back in, and they're like a 10 seed.
I don't know who Alabama just lost. Mississippi State. Alabama lost to Mississippi State.
At
home. If they come to Kentucky, that's the next game. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's Tuesday. If they beat Kentucky, they're in, because that's six. That'll be five wins against top 25 teams. Kentucky only has one.
Right.
Because Louisville doesn't count.
Right.
And we had zero.
Duke's back in.
But your player of the year candidate, by the way, Duke's a disappointment as well. North Carolina doesn't understand how to play hard all the time.
I don't think Roy Williams is a good coach anymore. The talent that he's had since 2009.
Oh, they're loaded this year.
And they've been loaded. I mean, you can say the 2011-12 year when Kendall Marshall got hurt. Yeah, you could say that, but they were still just so good.
Yeah,
it
but
shouldn't
look at
matter.
What did Kendall Marshall bring? He got the ball off of an outlet pass and
just
threw the ball up the court. That's all.
Right, right. Look for Henson and Barnes.
Made plays. That's all.
The talent that he's had, though, and to not even really be in contention for Final Fours.
They're Sweet 16 flameouts.
Yeah.
That's the... Vanderbilt's famous for doing that in the second round.
Yep.
Who else was I going to say? There's one other one that's a disappointment that I had forgotten about. A&M. A&M's up to number four, and then they drop all the way out of the top 25. But then they beat Kentucky at home. I did radio here the other day. I'm looking at their schedule really for the first time. You see them lose 5 out of 6. Well, those 5 games that they lost during that 6-game stretch, those 5 games that they lost were like Alabama on the road.
Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt
on the road. LSU on the road. Another team on the road. And then South Carolina at home when South Carolina was a world beater.
Yeah, I watched that game. I think they ended up blowing a lead in that game.
And they blew that game.
Yeah.
So then you look at the one game they won.
And it's Iowa State.
It's Iowa State. Well, okay.
There's another team that's up and down.
But you got to remember, that's the master coaching against his apprentice from Murray State.
Oh, that's right.
He knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yep.
The game plan that A&M had going into the game was perfect. I mean, you go Niang and make everybody beat you.
Yeah. For me, Iowa State, it's if you can cut off Monty Morris. Mm-hmm. I think Morris makes that team go more than Niang. So it's...
If you can make Nader beat you...
Yeah.
I mean, you'll live with your chances.
Yeah, you live with Nader. I mean, I like what Jameel McKay brings, but
skinny.
You live with him trying to beat you.
That's like living with Marcus Lee trying to beat you.
Right, exactly.
It's basically the same thing.
Exactly.
They're good for 5 fouls, a couple dunks, and a couple blocks.
Right, and they can fit perfectly.
But player of the year candidate, and I said 4 games into the season, Tyler Ulis is the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, I think
behind it. Look at what he does. Look how important he is to that team. Yeah. And it was apparent back then. I don't know what Jay Williams waited for all the time until he tweeted something out about it and he got in the discussion. He's so important to this Kentucky team. It's unbelievable. He makes them go. He calms them down. He scores. He's scoring at a rate that we never thought here in Kentucky. We never thought we'd see him have to do that because you have no post presence.
Right.
They're winning these games without a post presence.
Nope.
And, I mean, look at the numbers he's putting up. Dan Dockich is an absolute moron for saying he wasn't in the top 25. I know Dan Dockich is a professional troll, but goodness gracious.
At least I can live with you if you – because the point guard depth this year is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a ton of good points. So I can – I mean, I think he's – this year he's completely outplayed Dunn and is the best point guard, and Trimble and is the best point guard in college basketball this year. So if you put him outside the top 5, are you going to be wrong? Yes. But if you can at least give me a reason why, I could live with it. Because when he did it, it was like right when Ulis started scoring a ton.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you got to rescind this at some point.
I mean, the Major League Baseball does this thing, and it may be – NBA may do it. Wins above replacement. Well,
yep.
You can't do that. He's only missed 1 game. And that was when he hyperextended his elbow playing against South Florida.
And you could tell it.
They against barely Illinois, won.
Against Illinois State.
I don't understand. I mean, because Simmons is so – I mean, he's inconsistent but consistent. I mean, he had 8 turnovers the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a great pro.
Yeah,
don't you're
looking wrong, and he's doing
– He's 19. Not a top 20 – he's not a player of the year candidate.
I think for Simmons, he's absolutely an All-American because he's putting up 19-12-5 on 56%. I mean, that's numbers that we've just never seen.
Right.
But when you talk about player of the year, I think winning means you have to have a little bit of a winning thing.
You have to
show
up in
big games. And your team can't be 500. On the bubble, things like that.
That bad, yeah.
Right. So, I'm fine. He's a lock for All-American.
Uh-huh.
But in the Player of the Year race, you know, you're looking at, you know, I still think Buddy Hield's the favorite. I would probably still vote Buddy because he's a great defender, too.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I look for guys that can go, if you're scoring, you better be defending as well. I still think he's going to end up winning and be the favorite, but right after that, you got to look at. To me, it's him, Valentine, and then Ulis. I would still look at Grayson Allen because he's, you know, with Duke winning again, you don't have the Ben Simmons thing. And then you look at, like, Josh Hart at Villanova.
Yeah. See, I don't watch Villanova. I've never watched Villanova. They're, as a Coach Cal term, I think they're a fraud team. They don't play anyone.
I grew up not far from Nova, about an hour and a half. So I always liked watching them, especially when they went strictly four guards.
Oh, that was awesome. I remember watching that with Allen Ray, Nardi Foy, and Kyle Lowry. That was awesome.
Yep.
But the drop off from there. I mean, last year, my bracket was laying around here for some reason. I don't know why. I picked it up. I was like, oh, I had LSU in the second round. Didn't happen. North Carolina State beat them.
LSU blew that game last year.
I had Nova losing second round.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
There's no respect for Villanova.
Can Villanova get past the round of 32? Right. And what's weird is the Big East was supposed to take this big jump this year because Marquette was supposed to be better. Seton Hall is better. Xavier's obviously better, but Georgetown, massive step back. St. John's, massive step back. Providence, I just don't think they're the poor man's Oklahoma City Thunder. They have two really good guys in Dunn and Bentel, and their supporting cast is garbage this year.
But watching Bentel looks like he should be playing football. Oh, he doesn't look like a basketball player. The way that he runs.
He's a big guy, too.
Dunn is a stud. Dunn's going to be a great professional.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's great for college basketball, obviously, that he came back another year, you know, just to have the fanfare talking about it in the last time, and hopefully it helps, you know, going a little bit further. But he's inconsistent with turnovers too.
It's going to be interesting.
It is.
My mom and dad both played college basketball. Mom played in the Final Four. So and that was back when it was Kodak All-Americans. Okay. So they got beat in the Final Four by Old Dominion. I was like, when's the last time you heard Northeast Louisiana University, now it's Louisiana Monroe, when's the last time you heard a Sun Belt team and Old Dominion, I don't even know what conference they're in.
Colonial. They're the CAA now.
Yeah.
They were in the CAA. They're now in – what the hell are they in now? They moved from the CAA. They're in something like – I think they might be in like the Sun Belt or the Atlantic.
Something weird.
Yeah.
Those two teams are in the Final Four, regardless of men's or women's.
Right.
She we were talking last night, and she said, I kind of want to go to the SEC tournament this year because you don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be some good basketball. Nobody plays good at home. Nobody plays good on the road. Everyone plays good at home. What are they going to do in a neutral site? I mean, it's in Nashville this year, and it's an hour and a half away from her. I don't know why should I go.
And it's all matchups.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia does not match up well with Kentucky, but they match up well against Alabama, or they match up well against Vandy. Right. So now, if Georgia's the four seed, and let's say LSU ends up being the three seed, and Kentucky's like, we need to get that one seed now.
Yep.
So you avoid the matchup that terrifies you.
Exactly.
So I'll get you out of here with the last question that I ask everybody. Right now, not looking at brackets, what's your Final Four and who's your title?
Man, it's Michigan State's in there because you don't bet against Tom Izzo in the tournament. Just don't. The other three teams, I mean, it's really a toss-up. The West is awful. Nobody out there is any good.
I like Arizona. I really like Arizona.
Really?
Yep. I think Sean Miller's a really good coach.
Yeah.
They have not been healthy all year. So you had Tarzewski out for a while in the early middle part of the season. They've been without Trier for the last couple weeks. He's coming back. So they'll be healthy finally.
Didn't they get beat by somebody bad last week?
No, I think they won. They're up to number 9 now in the polls.
I mean, outside of Michigan State, North Carolina.
You trust them?
Or maybe. I don't trust anybody this year.
Right,
that's the bad part. Kansas for sure. Kansas is good. Self is a really good coach.
Yeah, they might be the most talented roster in the country.
I could agree with that. Then you're going to look at somebody that's going to squeak by and upset somebody. There's going to be like with us.
It's going to be 2011, I feel like, where...
See, I was going to go my last year. I think you're going to see maybe an 8 seed that... I mean, because if you win your second round game, that's against a number 1 seed, because there's no possible way a 16 seed's ever going to be the 1. It's not ever going to happen.
No.
If you beat the number 1 seed, you are the number 1 seed.
Right.
So, I mean, it's...
Then you get the 4, you know, you get the 4 or 5, you know, playing the chalk.
It's... But... This Xavier team is pretty good.
I really like this Xavier team.
I think Oklahoma could make it there, but they're very likely to get upset because of how reliable, how much they rely on the three.
Yeah, they remind me of a better Villanova with having to rely on the three. But they do, you know, same thing with Nova. Both teams are strong defensively, especially at the guard spot, but lack interior.
And in the NCAA tournament, it's a lot like playoff football. Playoff football, whoever has the better quarterback usually wins.
Yeah.
In college basketball, it's whoever has the best point guard. And for that reason alone, I think Kentucky might be able to make a run. If they can go to Kmart and buy a big man for 4 weeks, they'll make a run. I don't think they got him.
I think it should. And someone asked me this last week, where if you're, you know, what one person would you put on a contending team from a non-contending team? So can Kentucky just go down to Wake Forest and get Devin Thomas and throw him out there for the rest of the year?
And the one I'd like to go get is Sabonis is good.
Yeah. Or and Jameel Warning, the big kid from Stony Brook who puts up like 19 and 10 a game. Somebody. They're not going to win a title.
You go get Bentle and put him on a team.
Right.
I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're going to
somebody that can get rebounds.
Yeah. Somebody that'll fight.
Yeah.
That's all it's about. You got to have toughness.
So, thanks again for coming on. I'll let you get out of here. But now, where can everyone follow you on Twitter? And I know you have a podcast coming up. If you want to talk about that a little bit real quick.
Yeah, it's on Twitter. It's Johnny Lightning 4, J-O-N-N, no dreaded H in my name. So Johnny Lightning 4, nickname Coach Cal gave me. And then the podcast it's called Beyond Borders. You'll be able to find it on iTunes, beyondborderspodcast.com. It's a lot like Outside the Lines. I'm real fascinated by what goes on outside of basketball. I mean, just from John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, oh, we're going to sign our max deal and then turn around the next day and give $1 million to charity.
Right.
I want to see what and I know most of what these guys are. I've made friends throughout the league and everything. Who does what? What's your life like outside of basketball?
Right.
And it's not just – it won't be just basketball. I mean, I'm a Western Kentucky backwoods person, basically, as bad as it sounds. Hunting, fishing, that'll be in there. I have a couple of Outdoor Channel guys that are going to get interviewed. Baseball, basketball, football. I don't know much football, so I'll have to find somebody. Maybe Jerry Lorenzen will help me. So
there you go. So thanks again for coming on, man. Again, guys, give John a follow, Johnny Lightning 4 with no H. listen for his podcast. I'll make sure to tweet it out once you get it up and going. Follow me, Barstool Reigs. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. John, thanks again, man.